Our scripture passage this morning is we're starting a new series in Ezekiel. We're going to do Ezekiel starting with chapter 1, looking at verses 4 and 28. In your bulletin are verses 4 through 14, but we are going to be looking at the entire passage. It's going to be a little different than what we typically do as we are looking at passages. I'll explain as we get into it, but let me read this to you, and then we'll pray and we'll look at this passage in Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord. This is Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 4 and 14. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, in the midst of the fire as it was gleaming metal. And from the midst of this came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces. Each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like a burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. And as for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. Each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, and without turning as they went. And as for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and forth from the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Thus far, God's word. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this passage in Ezekiel, and we spend some time with the prophet Ezekiel and what he has seen, the oracles, things in which he speaks to the people of God, we might understand them in their circumstances, context. All of scripture is for our benefit, for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that we would be blessed and encouraged as we look and meditate on the glory of the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah, so I'm going to be finishing up my ministry preaching in the book of Ezekiel. We can't look at it as in-depth as I wanted to be able to, but we are going to look at some of the most significant passages in Ezekiel. And this is one of them. Maybe the most famous, of course, in Ezekiel is the Valley of Dry Bones. We will get a chance to look at that. But Ezekiel 1, verses 4 through 28 is a remarkable passage. And it is a unique passage. And I feel like I say that a lot. I apologize if I do, but I think as you just heard the words I just read, you would agree with me, it is unique in scripture. It's a unique passage. And for that reason, I'm going to approach this passage in a way that I normally would not typically approach. And if you don't like how I'm going to approach this passage, that's okay. No worries. I promise I'll never do it again in 2021. All right. Now, the reason I'm going to take this approach is for two reasons. As I just said, it's a unique text, and I know I again say that from time to time, but I think you would again agree it is unique. Electrical storms, cherubim, spinning wheels, if you read the interior, the mentioning of a great expanse, all of these imageries are not images that we see very often in Scripture. And in fact, when looking at various commentaries out of Ezekiel, which by the way aren't very many, the scarcity of what they had to say about this made me realize something in which maybe would be a benefit for us as well to take their approach on this approach this morning. And that leads me to the second reason I'm going to do this. It's because the best way being able to understand a passage like this is to allow Scripture to guide us in understanding Scripture. Scripture should always be studied in light of all the counsel which comes to us. If we see something we don't understand, it's best that we look in other places in Scripture to see maybe where we might be able to interpret or understand it better. And it turns out, actually, and maybe we can make an argument, we could probably spend all day doing this, there are actually several passages that have a relationship with Ezekiel chapter 1. In fact, I've identified seven passages that I think would be to our benefit to understand Ezekiel 1 better that are found throughout different portions of Scripture, all showing and depicting the glory of the Lord in a different way. The Ezekiel passage is probably the most explicit of the passages. But to be clear, all of these passages that we are going to look at this morning, they all touch upon that. And if you're not sure that's what this passage is about in Ezekiel, I will draw your attention to verse 28 in the passage that says, "Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it," that's Ezekiel, "I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking." So Ezekiel 1 is about the glory of the Lord. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we are going to listen. I know you do that a lot, especially when I'm preaching, hopefully. Listen. But I do want you to listen carefully, not so much to my preaching, but to the Word of God. For the Word of God does give and show us and demonstrate the glory of the Lord in many different circumstances and situations. So this morning, I'm going to read chronologically these various passages in Scripture and put Ezekiel in amongst them chronologically so that you might see depictions in Scripture again and again where we see the glory of the Lord or where it's depicted. We'll start with Exodus, we'll end with Revelation, and then I'll draw us back to the person of Christ as well, because even in his ministry, we see that. Not only in the passage that was just written to us in Luke 2, where the angels sang to the shepherds and it was the glory of the Lord was present, we'll see maybe one depiction that kind of aligns itself with all of what we're looking at this morning. So if you will listen and indulge with me this morning, we are going to look at Scripture to interpret Scripture. And I want you to listen carefully how each of these passages begin to build or actually sound very familiar, even though they're very different settings, different circumstances. Each of them is touching upon the theme of the glory of the Lord. And notice what they have in common, what they look. And I'll share a little bit of those, my observations. But listen carefully yourself as we look. The first passage is one we've looked at before. Exodus 19. It is where the people of God are at the base of Mount Sinai. And there is this moment where they are going to have an encounter with the Lord. And listen to how it is described, this moment where the glory of the Lord comes down on Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, Moses told the word of the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch it, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man. He shall not live. And when the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people, consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look up, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountains and consecrate it." And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up and bring Aaron with you, but do not let the priests or the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he breaks out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. Our next passage is in a similar fashion, but being prepared for the presence of the glory of the Lord. And that is Solomon, who is building the temple. And notice how Solomon builds the temple and in the most holy of holies. If you turn to 1 Kings 6, you'll see that there is this depiction, this attempt by Solomon to depict the glory of the Lord, or at least it be reflected in the most holy of holies of the temple. Listen carefully. Again, you'll see some similar themes from what you've just heard or from Ezekiel. This is Solomon, 1 Kings 6, verses 14. So Solomon built the house and finished it. He lined the walls of the house on the inside with boards of cedar. From the floor of the house to the walls of the ceiling, he covered them on the inside with wood. He covered the floor of the house with boards of cypress. He built 20 cubits of the rear of the house with the boards of cedar from the floors to the walls. He built this within an inner sanctuary as the holy, the most holy place. The house, that is, the nave in front of the inner sanctuary was 40 cubits long. The cedar within the house was carved in the form of gourds and open flowers. All was cedar, no stone was seen. And the inner sanctuary he prepared in the innermost parts of the house to set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. And he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid an altar of cedar. And Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold. And he drew chains of gold across in front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. And he overlaid the whole house with gold until all of the house was finished. Also, the whole altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary, he overlaid with gold. And in the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. 5 cubits was the length of one wing of the cherubim, and 5 cubits of the length of the other wings of the cherubim. It was 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other. And the other cherub also measured 10 cubits. Both cherubim had the same measure and the same form. The height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was the other cherub. He put the cherub in the innermost parts of the house, and the wings of the cherub were spread out so that the wings of one touched the one wall, and the wings of the other cherub touched the other wall. And their other wings touched each other in the middle of the house, and he overlaid the cherub with gold. Around the walls of the house, he carved engraved figures of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers in the inner and outer rooms. The floor of the house he overlaid with gold in the inner and outer rooms. For the entrance to the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood. Lintel and doorposts were five-sided. He covered the two posts of olive wood with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He overlaid them with gold and spread gold on the cherub and on the palm trees. So he also made for the entrance and the nave doorposts of olive wood in the form of a square, the two doors of cypress wood. The two leaves of the one door were folded, and two leaves of the other door were folded. And on them he carved cherubim and palm trees and open flowers, and he overlaid them with gold, even applying on the carved work. He built the inner courts with three courses of cut wood and one course of cedar beam. Now that's an incredible amount of detail. But notice how much gold was mentioned and cherubim and the decorations of the most holy of holies of places. And then, remembering this, if you can, we go to Isaiah 6. And in that same place, we see the Lord depicted in the temple as Isaiah sees him. And what are we told in that presence? Well, let me read it. It's, of course, a much shorter passage. But here we now are in the temple, and the glory of the Lord is present. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings, and 2 he covered his faces, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. And then one of them, the seraphim, flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, and he take with his tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. The next passage that I'm going to read in its entirety is one I've just already had read. But now I'm going to read it its entirety. And now listen to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, and all the way to verse 28, in light of the other passages we just read. You're going to begin to see that these flying creatures are not a unique thing. In fact, that we see them again and again. And listen to the descriptions of that what Ezekiel is seeing. And then we'll follow Daniel that has a similar vision. And then finally, of course, we'll look at Revelations. But listen now very carefully in light of this. Ezekiel and what he sees in this vision. As I look, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north and a great cloud with brightness around. It flashed forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were gleaming metal, and from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance, that a human likeness, but each had four faces, each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. They sparkled with burnished bronze under their wings on their four sides. They had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus, and their wings touched one another. Each one of them were straight forward without turning as they went. And as for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wings of another. While two covered their body, each went straight forward, and everywhere the spirit went, they went, and without turning, they went. And as for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro, and the living creatures and the fire were bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of flashes of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one each of the four of them. And as for the appearance of the wheels, their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being as though they were wheel within a wheel. And when they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went. And the rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. And wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Then those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose up among them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. On the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of expanse, shining like awe-inspired crystals spreading out from their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sounds of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings, and there came a voice from amongst the expanse over their heads. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse, over their heads, was a likeness of a throne, an appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness of a human appearance. And upon which, from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw was gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw it as it were appearance of fire. And there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the rain, the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face and heard the voice of one speaking. Daniel 10. Daniel's is much shorter, but Daniel has a very similar vision. And notice how Daniel responds as he sees this vision for how it affects him. It's much more like Isaiah in his circumstance, but Ezekiel the same. Daniel has a similar vision. In those days, Daniel was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat, wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of that first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is Tigris, and I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and his legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sounds of his words like the sound of the multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great tremble fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words. As I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, great loved, understand the word that I speak to you. Stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he spoke to these words to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kings of Persia without me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is happening in your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. Now, many have read and understand Daniel 10 in relationship to the final passage I'm reading, which is Revelations 4. It is said there in Daniel 4, it is for the days that are yet to come. Well, Revelation 4 paints a very similar picture. Again, see the same themes. Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard, speak to me like a trumpet and said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And above the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. And above the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the throne were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with gold crowns on their heads. From the thrones came flashes of lightning, and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne was burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And above the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in the front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature like the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever these living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by will they existed and were created. Now, that's a lot of scripture to go forward from Exodus through Isaiah, through Ezekiel, through Daniel, through 1 Kings, and into Revelation. But I hope you started to hear some things that were all being repeated again and again and again and again. And from these passages, I would suggest they're really, it's like looking at a work of art where we can see themes that are wanting to be depicted about the glory of the Lord. The first theme I think should be very clear, power in all of those passages. We see it depicted in thunder and lightning and rumbling. The spinning wheels, the earthquakes, all this imagery is showing us that there is tremendous power in the presence of God and in the glory depicted. The second one, maybe equally, is beauty. Think of all those passages in some way, way or another tried to depict beauty, crystal, jewels, gold. All of it was trying to show a beauty and quality in God's presence and his glory. But lastly, what is really, you can see, I think, in all of the passages quite well, is that as we are seeing the glory of God, we are sensing his presence, his nearness. The smoke descending down on Mount Sinai, the presence of angels, cherubim, of living creatures, the throne, a person on the throne, the how the ground is considered holy, the temple, and all of that has this presence in way that shows us that God is near. I think when we look at the glory of the Lord, when we look at a passage like this in Ezekiel, we don't look at it like we look at other passages per se. It is a depiction in word of what the glory of God looks like, what it would look like if we were in his presence. That's what Ezekiel is trying to just simply show us, sort of like a piece of art. It's sort of a way, like the temple is, as it is being depicted, showing and knowing what God's presence would be and what it would be like to be standing and being reflecting that glory. The Isaiah passage is more from that human perspective, even Daniel as well, where we see how much and where we would feel to be in God's presence. But there is one passage I have left out in all of this that I think is worthy for us to consider. Because if all of these passages that are talking about the glory of God and talk about how God's presence is near and how it's beautiful in these things, you can imagine that those in Christ's time and day would be wondering and saying, hey, aren't you claiming to be God? That's a big claim. Quite possibly, then why don't we see that if you are indeed God, the glory of God associated with you? Yes, we've heard of these angels singing in the shepherd's fields, but where, Jesus, in your ministry, would we see this aspect of heaven, what Ezekiel has described, what Isaiah has described, how Solomon decorated the temple, what Daniel saw? Where do we see that, Jesus, in your life? Where would we see that in your ministry, in your moment? And I think if you think about it, there would be that one place where we, where his apostles could point to those who object and say, you want to see the glory of the Lord depicted in Christ's life? Well, there is that moment. We call it the transfiguration of Christ. Matthew 17, in light of all those scriptures that I just read, is really interesting how it picks up all the same themes that we have just seen in these passages. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain. Mountain. Where have we seen that before? He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents. Here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking with them, and behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then the disciples heard this and fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Can you see the glory of God in that passage? You see how it is reflective of the other passages that we have read at or looked at this morning? Jesus' claim that he is the Son of God is confirmed in the transfiguration. On that moment on the mountain, the glory of the Lord is shown. The angels singing in the shepherd fields, that moment that Christ goes up into heaven, there we see it as well. Those are glimpses. But the glory of the God, the glory of the Lord is a strange, strange thing. And will we fully understand it? I'm not so sure. But I do have this consideration for you this morning. As we've looked and studied Ezekiel 1, I would encourage you, as I've already suggested, treat it like a work of art. Like art, like anything, it is a picture, is a depiction of the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel is presented with it and is given to us in word. But read it and listen and read it again, and you might see something different than you've never seen before. I think it is a beautiful passage trying to capture as best it can what is the glory of the Lord. See how it depicts the power and beauty and presence of God. Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah and the people of God all had that experience of seeing that. And so for us, it is for our benefit that we see a glimpse of that, that we see it in Ezekiel, we see it on the Mount of Transfiguration, that the glory of the Lord is a privilege and benefit and blessing for us to meditate upon. Let's pray. Father, this is an odd passage for us. We can look at a lot of other passages. We can dissect it. We can work through it. We can understand it, seeing the references in other places in Scripture and to be able to maybe understand its meaning in the context. But this passage in Ezekiel, Lord, it's hard. It's got images and things that we're not sure of. But Lord, we are thankful for other scriptures that have similar depictions that talk about these living creatures that use similar language, talking about lightning and jewels and gold. Lord, help us as we know that the word of the Lord, the word that you've given us, is for our benefit. It's also for your glory. And passages like Ezekiel are speaking of your glory. Lord, help us to meditate upon it again and again and again. Yes, it's different. Yes, it's strange to us in many ways. But at the same time, it shows us something that is something that we will all know someday, your glory, and we'll see your presence and draw close. So Lord, thank you for this depiction. Thank you that it has that benefit, and for the rest of scripture that helps us in understanding it. May indeed set our hearts and minds on the things to come. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Our hymn of response is